is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Bull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon.
Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. I love that always is like one word. No spaces.
I try to say it faster than I did last week every time.
That's good. Dude, I think you might have had a record there.
Dude, is just going to be...
That's good.
It's good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, as always.
Before we get into the review, I kind of want to get on a soapbox for a second. It's not very serious. But last week, Simon and I were talking after recording, and we were just sort of missed the banter and BS of trending topics that we used to do. If you listened to last week's episode, it was a rewind episode because I didn't finish editing due to 4th of July shenanigans. But it was an episode from like 2 years ago, which was wild.
Lex blew his fingers off and he had to get them sewn on.
Yeah, right.
And that's why.
I was arrested for firing fireworks inside of a bank.
yeah, not even city limits, in a building.
Putting that episode together, very intricate stuff, copying and pasting and editing level, just downloading an old episode and putting it to the new spot. But I was listening to it just to make sure there wasn't any old news that people had to siphon through or whatever. And it just, these two young chaps sounded like they were having so much fun talking about nothing before they got into the review. Not to say that we don't have fun now, but we kind of just missed letting that banter get in the show. I think I got so wrapped up in trying to edit the perfect show or be the best reviewers. But like Simon and I never set out to do that. We just wanted to read comics and talk to each other every week. And the episodes, I was looking at downloads and things like that. And the episodes where we were doing that, the downloads are way higher than people coming for the comic book Roger and Ebert.
Yeah.
So if you are a fan of the old show, silly shenanigans and sidebars and all that stuff, we're going to bring it back. Just wanted to touch base with the audience and let you guys know where we're at. Also, if you listened to last week's episode, I talked about the Wednesday Pull List newsletter. People ask all the time. I was on the show last week and they were like, "What? Why do you call yourself the Wednesday Pull List?" And it's like, I just explained it in an offhanded way. Well, now I can say the Wednesday Pull List is a newsletter that you can sign up for and get every Wednesday morning. My curated list of top 10 books that you should be picking up. The reason why I wanted to do that initially was because of the crisis in Twitter town a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Most of my community that I've built was on there. So I thought instead we can just build one off all of the social media platforms, steal people's email addresses, and spam their emails over and over and over every single day till we're all they see.
We're holding them hostage. We were going to sell them to Elon.
Maybe
not.
It just kind of lets us communicate with our community better, right? So you'll get the top 10 list at the bottom of it. You'll also get a link to the episode that comes out that week. So sometimes you may forget that we have an episode. It's Wednesday. What should I be doing? Oh, I should be listening to the Wednesday Pull List. It'll be at the bottom of that. I think we'll throw in Simon's toy pick of the week, whichever one he deems is worthy. But yeah, sign up for the newsletter. I think we honestly already have, 97 people signed up.
Well, that's good. You'll get that communication without the dependence of an algorithm, which is like what the point of that is, direct.
Yeah. And it really, I was joking about the spam. It will just be the Wednesday morning email to remind you about the episode and that curated list of the books that you should pick up. That's it. That's my soapbox. On this week's episode of the podcast, we are reviewing a book called Survival Street. And as always, Simon, I want to know what you thought, judging the book by its cover.
Well, I love Muppets.
So yeah.
I was excited about that, but I was very... Once I got into it, oh my God. Why are you... It's like, you love these depressing-ass books, man.
Yeah. I mean, this one wasn't...
This was... It's not so depressing as...
It's like political.
Well, it's like a parallel to real life.
A lot of it.
This is the kind of shit that I think about all day. And when I'm like, TikTok, that's my TikTok. It's like very political and it sends me stuff that'll make me angry. And so,
mine is Tim Robinson and comic book stuff.
It's all mixed in. I'll be like, crying, laughing. excited about a new toy.
Were you just having a good time? Well, guess what? The world is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of doom scrolling.
Yeah, I got some of that.
Yeah, so, you know, once I got into it, it was definitely different, but I was excited to see what this was about. I mean, I audibly said, you know, everybody's like, LOL, ha, 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 you know, whatever. But when I got the picture of what you wanted to read, I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Audibly.
I'm with you, man. I know that you are a huge Muppets fan. I love all of Jim Henson's creations. Big fan. I love Sesame Street. That's just, I do, you know, and I, it's not even real. I would like to say it's because I have kids, but I just like the characters. I think it's, I think they're great, man. And Muppets too, huge Muppets fan. And I don't realize how much of a Muppets fan I am until I'm consuming some sort of Muppets media.
Yeah, I think the thing about like Sesame Street and Muppets in general is how much we treat them like real people. Like in my mind, Kermit is not a puppet. Like Kermit is an actor.
For sure. And I think that's one of the things I like about this book.
Yeah,
is that they are actually real, even though it gets depressing.
Yeah,
when they go into it. Survival Street, issue number one, written by James Asmus, Jim Vasant. Art and cover by, I apologize, I always just need to apologize for butchering people's names. If you listen to this podcast, you know that I can't read.
So
Survival Street is an unrepentant action satire tearing through a dystopia packed with economic and humanistic cautionary tales. After an unbridled wave of corporations take over America, the country is left completely deregulated and effectively carved up into feudal states where billionaires and businesses make their own laws. Among the wreckage, massive privatization shuts down public broadcasting, forcing all beloved edutainers out on the down and dirty streets. That's kind of sad. I mean, that is what the book is about, but it just made me sad. One group of them stick together, determined to keep helping kids across the country, and do it by becoming an A-team-esque band of mercenaries fighting for and educating kids in the crumbling corporate war zone of New Best America.
So basically, like, that's a real thing. Like, corporations are can be counted as people, right?
Yeah.
That is real and scary. That's just something that we kind of deal with. But the prologue of this book kind of expands upon that because we have this, I'm going to fuck up and everybody's going to not listen to us. I better not be too political. But basically the Supreme Court expands their freedom of speech rights to allow them the business to run for public office as an individual.
Yeah.
And that's where everything goes from there as far as the comic book goes. And just reading that, I was like, oh, God.
Especially like right now. I'm like, this is hitting way too close to home.
I think that should be bipartisan. No matter who you support, no one should want a corporation to be able to speak as an individual. That is freaky. And that's why, like, Disney, you know, we're supposed to have public domain laws in place. Like, Mickey Mouse should be public domain now, but Disney has lobbied to not allow that to happen. That's, I think we're coming up on a vote again for that to happen. It's just creepy. And, you know, this whole world is built on the idea that those things happen and scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem in a book that is very, you know, it's satire. These characters obviously aren't real. A lot of this stuff feels very real.
Yeah.
Especially because it sets it up in future tense. These are the prologue sets it up as in 5 years from now, I think 5 years after that or something like that. It's not hard to believe that, man, some of this stuff could actually happen, minus the Muppet vigilantes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the most fake thing. The only unrealistic thing is that there are real-life Muppets, you know, without hands in their asses.
Going into it, all of the vibe is set up like Sesame Street. You go in and the designs are from Sesame Street, even around the publisher and everything, you know, like listing out all the creators. Loved it.
Yeah. Just the way they set up, like, oh man, this first moments where they get kicked out of basically PBS and going right into them trying to get into Florida is very freaky because they're just trying to cross the border and they're like, well, you just have to pay this fee and this fee and this fee, and it's like $1,300 or something.
And even that feels real. I will say, I love the design. So they was going for the Muppets. It was going for Sesame Street, and I think it nailed it. One of my favorite things in this book is Mr. President Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Every time I saw that, it made me smile because I'm like, that's real life.
It is. And it's also confusing. I don't know if they were doing this just to, skirt any real names, because they use at least one real name in here that I was like, okay, that makes sense. It was a little confusing because I was like, this is his son, right? This is the president's son. I don't even remember if we ever see the president early.
We have some interesting characters as far as the Sesame Street Muppet characters go. We have Bertie, the puppet master. We have Herbert, who was Corporal Fairness. We have Hippie. We have Mr. Burton. He's the human. There's always a human on Sesame Street. And I'm going to say, if they ever make this a movie, which they could, this could be a really good movie. It could.
Yeah, this is an A24 movie. Definitely.
Only if they get LeVar Burton to play his character.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's like, I didn't really notice until I see this panel again how much he looks like him.
Very much. That's LeVar Burton. Make it happen, A24. You guys make weird movies all the time.
To me, I just love the planning, how meticulous they are with planning this heist. Yeah. At the beginning, this is another scary thing. At the beginning, all these rich people are bidding on orphan children, basically for their organs. And they're kind of trying to stop this. The way that they played it out is really, really interesting. It's very meticulous. And I love that
Oceans,
kind of...
Ocean's 11 meets Fight Club, kind of.
Yeah, but yeah, just the way they go in to rescue the children is pretty cool. I love, one of the things I like is we have like the Oscar the Grouch parallel that's really good with machinery. It's just kind of funny how they keep these aren't fake personalities. I mean, they're real people, right? We already discussed the Muppets are.
Yeah. Muppets. I guess for clarification, we hinted at earlier, but they call them puppets because they're made out of, not made out of, but their skin is like felt like a puppet would be, but they are real people from an island.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into more later, but they do have these sort of distinct homages to Sesame Street characters.
Yeah. There's like a Bert and Ernie parallel that I didn't really make the connection to until the very end.
With Bertie and.
Yeah. Bertie and Irma.
I didn't until just now. I was looking at Bertie and I was like, she looks like Bert.
I think it's because they're not really together ever. Uh-huh. So that's probably why.
Yeah.
But, we get what I was saying is basically we get this Oscar the Grouch person. He's more into recycling. Mm-hmm. And he recycled all these old, pieces of tech to work to their advantage, like their radio jammers and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I like those little features.
One thing I will say about this is I think it's really well written, man. To be such a... Then I'm specifically talking about this first issue. I thought it was going to be just straight silly and just a good time. But it actually is kind of sad. It's kind of fun. It hits all these story beats. There is a lot of exposition, lots of dialogue in some areas. But I think it does a solid job. You have the... Not betrayal... I guess it's kind of a betrayal. One of the characters from Sesame Street is become sort of like this self-hating representation of the Muppet people for Fox News.
Like a pundit.
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
This is not, like you said, this is not a kid's comic book, right?
No.
There's Oscar the Grouch is throwing freaking Molotov cocktails, and then the Bertie comes down. Uses her own stitching as a rappel rope to blast these dudes in the face with some Uzis. And it's really, you're not quite sure what's going to happen at the beginning of this. It seems like they're all going to die because several of them get hurt.
Yeah, and that's how I thought was going to die. I thought that Bertie was going to die. I thought they were all going to die. I had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't know if every issue was going to be about the same characters.
And I guess his character is Grover. I would assume that Corporal Fairness is Grover.
That seems right, because I think he has like a Superman parallel in that.
Super Grover. Yeah.
So Herbert is kind of rogue, doesn't really follow orders, but saves everyone, at least in this issue.
Yeah, he's the wild card.
I like that Mr. Burton is like the incognito, like he puts on different costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's like Gordon from Sesame Street, the black guy on Sesame Street. And his character is just like never breaks the Sesame Street character. You know how the parents and stuff in Sesame Street are always kind of like corny and cheery. They're in this dystopian future of New Best America, which is what America is called now. He never breaks that. And I love that so much.
Yeah. But like I said, as part of that, I just like that he's like the agent on the inside. He's their human so that they can kind of give intel.
Yeah. I think this is at least a really good first issue, man. I didn't expect to enjoy it. Not enjoy it. I thought it was going to be fun and silly. You know, I thought it was going to be just like a wacky Mad Max Sesame Street.
Yeah, that is one thing. When I saw the cover, my first thought was like Happy Tree Friends. You know, I don't know if you remember that little cartoon, but it's like just gross to be gross. I don't see anything appealing about that at all. But luckily this one has content, you know, it's poignant.
Yeah.
It makes you think.
All right, man. Take it away with issue number two.
Survival Street number two. When the Weapons Retailers of America, WRA, declare the right to gun ownership, begins at conception, that's a real thing, and take aim at arming babies, the ABC team is drawn deep into the heart of Texas.
Woo!
Yeah. Hey, kids, can you say outnumbered? Plus the tragedy of Herbert, a.k.a. Corporal Punishment, a candy coating of pop culture madness, humor, cartoonishly absurd hyperviolence, and just enough hope to keep holding on. We start off in this one in kind of a, like they said, outnumbered. It's like, yeah, Texas, this is why Texas hasn't been invaded, U.S. in general, but nobody's going to invade Texas because you're going to get shot.
And yeah, you will.
Yeah, they're immediately outnumbered.
Like they're in a church and they're like, yes, sanctuary.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's Jesus with
Church of Christ the Reloader. That's pretty funny.
It's so funny. For reference, Simon and I are both Texas natives. We live in Texas. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there was a church somewhere in Texas that had Jesus holding guns like that.
At least in Oklahoma.
At least in Oklahoma, for sure.
There is a character in here that was really funny. And I'm not sure who he's supposed to be because they do name Charlton Heston in him, Charlton Hestron, which is hilarious. But there's another guy that's supposed to be part of this WRA, and he's a, you know, really built old guy. I'm not sure who that's supposed to be.
Maybe he's supposed to be Clint Eastwood.
Maybe. You know, he's like trying to hunt out these people, but one of the funny things in this is like the laws changed in Texas so everybody could have a shootout. You want to settle something,
no matter
shoot
what.
Up.
Yeah. Divorce, you just shoot each other.
Yeah. Who has the best chicken restaurant shootout?
Super depressing. We get Herbert's backstory. And I think it's so interesting because I think something like this would work in a Muppets movie where you see where they come from.
Yeah.
Right, I think that would be a really cool angle for a Muppet movie, because there's this island where these Muppets are just living, what you would assume is a very peaceful life, because all they do is try to help each other and learn, and it's like, you can just like, there are very, the only evil Muppets are the ones that hang out with Tim Curry. That's a Treasure Island reference.
That's a deep cut that I didn't understand.
For you guys listening, Tim Curry was the bad guy in Treasure Island, the Muppets movie. It's said, man, because you get this business plaid suit businessman American comes over and he's like, oh, we need to extract this from this island. How about we work together? Sad. because they're just like, yeah, we love helping people. Of course, let's work together.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, that's the kind of shit that you're going to see. Yeah. Is this really helpful, like kind of primitive, but happy being that way society? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Somebody comes in and it's like, oh, you know what? You've got this valuable resource. How about you make money by selling it to us?
Yeah. And their leader is this old guy who's like the grand poobah or whatever. He essentially sells them out.
You know, we progress a little bit further. We see how the partnership between the island and the U.S., how that all works out. And obviously the workers are getting exploited immediately because someone's getting paid more money. It's just capitalism in general. There's a tragedy on the island, though. That's the big deal. And then the Americans are like, well, all the thing that we wanted is gone. So, you know, you can just deal with this yourself.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're like, hey, can you help us? And they're like, no, we're out of here. And their entire village is burned to the ground. And, you know, Herbert's like, they destroy everything, so they should take everyone. And his dad says, you're right, but they won't. Herbert, the world isn't fair. Damn. So then he became Corporal Fairness. This book is sad, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I ran through it because it was good. I enjoyed the read. But going back through it and talking about it, just kind of depressing, man.
Yeah. And then the end of this issue, Corporal Fairness Punishment catches up to this guy, the WRA guy, that's like holding a baby in front of him. Like, you wouldn't shoot me in front of a baby. And he's got a camera and he's going to expose him for being an actual coward, you know, that he wouldn't follow through. I don't think he kills him, though.
I thought he did kill him.
He might have. I thought he just shot the camera, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they just leave it up to...
Definitely don't see him again.
Yeah. Survival Street issue number 3, guest starring your friend Elmo. His name is Milo in this. Another day, another horrifically raging California wildfire. The state doesn't have enough water to fight. But why are 6 little kid firefighters abandoned inside the blaze? And if hippie spirit finally breaks, is there any hope for the rest of us? Did we mention Milo? Oh, man.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, man.
So Milo, Elmo, in this is like really, really ridiculously rich.
Yeah, which makes sense. Like,
yeah, I mean, if anyone would have money, it would be him. And they all show up at his house, and he's just kind of like, hey, man, why are y'all here?
So the group, our main characters, like we said in the beginning, wanted to stick it to the man. They wanted to continue to help people and help kids, right? Well, Milo was like, well, I got a good thing going, man. I can keep doing that because I'm not just PBS. I got toys. I got Tickle Me Milos. I got backpacks. I got my own. Elmo has his own talk show on HBO, like late night talk show on HBO for kids. He's bigger than Sesame Street. He's bigger than Sesame Street. That's proven here. Elmo doesn't want to ruin his good name by hanging out with these. Like, we're friends, yeah. But y'all ain't nobody checking on me, man. y'all need something, so y'all come to Elmo. And I'm going to keep calling him Elmo because that's who he is.
I didn't really register that until he said it. I don't know. I'm so far removed.
A lot of Sesame Street in my house. But a few threads happen in this, right? We didn't talk about, but Irma and Birdie have a conversation earlier, and Irma is the one that is a sellout. She works for Fox News. Like Simon said, she's a pundit. Irma gives Birdie a chance. She's like, we could be together again. Not like together, like Bird and Ernie, maybe, but not, you know, they don't emphasize that. But just come, just quit and just come. You can be part of this. You know what I mean? Manage me or whatever she says. Well, the Cookie Monster of the group finds that card. We didn't talk about the Cookie Monster. I can't even remember
her name in that. Or something.
Yeah.
Coops, I think.
She's addicted to ice cream, which I think is really, really funny.
These kids are in the middle of this wildfire again because adults aren't gonna, they don't want adults to do this. So they Everything is like run by kids, like shit that other people don't want to do as kids. And they're out here in the California and shut off the water because Nestle owns the water rights, which again is so close to the truth that it's very scary.
When we get to the kids in the wildfire, I'm like, man, that's sad. That's like really sad. You know, these kids are about to die if our main characters didn't save them. But then we get into the backstory of like why the kids are there. And I'm just like, this is even sadder, man.
Yeah, man. Well, and they even have like the one kid's like, hey, but we don't have any water, but we do have this fireproof tent that we can get in. And he opens the case and it's like, yeah, you'll receive your tent in 30 days or something.
36 months.
Yeah. Just insane.
Oh my God.
Relations and whatever.
Yeah. So our heroes, the Survival Street Gang, go to Elmo essentially because he has the resources to get them to the kids to save them. They get there, they do the best they can. When I talked about the kids, the situation that put the kids in there, it's sad because does it start hitting close to home in a very extreme way? One of the kids explains the story. It's sad because we didn't do anything wrong. The best I could piece together after the monopolies took over, my parents couldn't afford the birth control anymore or raising a kid. So they were going to have an abortion just to, you know, that's people's prerogative, right? But it turned out to be a sting operation from a group called the Alt-Right to Life Unit. Does that sound like real life? So the mom was imprisoned and forced to carry the child full term. Then they left the mom in jail. And then they took the baby. And then the baby, because the corporations own everything, the baby is automatically entered into jail as a prisoner, which in turn would be used for slave labor. How? This is wild. At what point would the United Nations not step in and be like, hey guys, what's going on?
There's plenty of shit that the U.S. does that the United Nations should probably step into, but they don't.
Right. We're not even going to get into all of that because that's a big conversation. It's sad, man.
Yeah, and especially just the prison industrial complex in general, like that's also real.
Yeah.
Privately owned prisons. Crazy.
Yeah. They use for essentially slave labor. Not going to get into the specifics of that or anything, but
yikes. Right. During this rescue, Birdie gets burnt because they have to go back for Scoops.
Which is a big deal. She relapsed.
And so that kind of puts her on a different path. As they're trying to run out of the fire, they get to the border and there's a giant wall. And the guards are on this wall. They're not being helpful. They like toss down some Nestle candy bars or whatever. That's all they could do. But luckily, Milo comes and saves them. He's got a helicopter.
That's the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Hippie at that point, when we talked about the synopsis, is just give the most cheery one out of the group, but seems broken, which rightfully so. This is how much shit can you take? You know, how positive can you be in this situation? You're trying to keep these kids safe. You're trying to motivate these kids and tell them everything's going to be right. You're saving them. But then it just seems like at every turn, it's not happening.
Yeah. There's several things that we didn't touch on, like when they're in Florida, I think, that you also see here. It's like the climate change problem. Like you see one panel where there's this big, it's the Fox News building, and it's got a dock because the water is so high.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like it's like mid-building. In Florida, there were, you know, everything was ocean view because the ocean was on the streets. So, I just thought that was kind of funny. At the end of this book, though, Scoops contacts Irma to...
Betrayal, man.
Yeah.
She wants to get out. All right, take it away.
All right, Survival Street number 4. It's the end of our run here, I think. Corporate interests of New Best America declare the ABC team public enemies number 1, 2, and 3. On the run and reeling from the shocking loss of one of their own, the furry friends, are hunted back to their happy place. Is this their exciting season finale or permanent cancellation? A candy coating of pop culture madness, humor, cartoonishly absurd hyperviolence, and just enough hope to keep holding on. The covers for this are neat. There's, or the end covers, I don't know. There's kind of a Muppets reference with the arts, the arches.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
Yeah, we get Irma. It's kind of like teaching Scoops the work, the ropes, box, and like...
Yeah, Irma's not necessarily evil or a bad guy. She's bad in a sense that she's a sellout, right?
Yeah,
but she's
self-interest.
Still, yeah, she's not trying to screw her friends over. She still helps her friend that is willing to sell out too. It's kind of sad, man. It's still sad.
It's all sad. This part of it, so like the exploitations of the Muppets' homeland was pretty rough. This, there's a certain part of this that kind of takes over all the racial fears and racial tensions that America has, and not just based on one race. Like there's a couple which is kind of weird, but it's like a inter-Muppet couple. They get close out of a restaurant, and there's like a women, moms against a certain, they basically draw these, it's like a demonstration against Muppets, and then make them out to be monsters.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that can't get a home loan. There's people that have authentic Snuffleupagus, which I thought was funny, like Snuffleupagus cuisine, and kids that are getting beat up. I mean, it's...
Yeah, there's a lady that uses, so there's a lot of like right wing terminology. Whenever they're being aggro online, they usually will go after you about children. They'll call you a groomer and things like this about the opposing parties. And there's a lady on here that say, they're obsessed with children. You've heard this exact dialogue on the internet before.
Yeah.
They're obsessed with children, grooming them, brainwashing them to their communist ideology. It's like, all this stuff is real. You know, it's crazy.
I saw a really great speech, not to get too crazy, but this lady was like, listen, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not teaching your kids to be any way other than just to do fucking math problems. That's all I got time for. I don't have time for them to be anything else. They can do whatever they want. I just want them to do math.
Right? My job.
Yeah.
Scoops looks so crazy, man.
Yeah. Even when they give her the wig, she looks really nuts. Really nuts. But this pundit, you know, they so bad, man. They basically like tell her about how terrible they are and trying to entrap her and talk about her addiction and
make them look like monsters, essentially.
Yeah. Well, even they treat her terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's part of the show now.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, it's rough. And so they're using her. They're trying to use her, like Simon said, show her addiction and things like that. Show the public that these people kind of suck. But Muppets kind of suck, right? And also trying to figure out where her friends are.
Yeah.
They do figure it out, which I was like, damn, Scoops, you gave up your friends, man? That sucks. To Nice. Nice was the organization that was going to get him. Also, Mr. President Jr. was gone with him. And the way they talk, the way their dialogue is just, it's real life, man. I can't say it any other way. I know some people hate political things, but this book, it is that. So you can't say, don't shut your politics into comic books, because that's what this is. It's the basis of the book.
Right. And for the comic book, they make it convenient that Charleston Hestron is there and the Kane, whatever, Westwood is there. They're going to one fell swoop all their enemies.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
They name drop Disneyland.
Cool. Yeah.
Also, at the beginning of this issue, they name drop Elon. Elon Musk was part of the super group.
That's what I was talking about at the beginning. And so the Muppets, like the property that they own, is like a amusement park. We didn't really touch on that. Going into Nice is going into this amusement park.
Sold them out. Can't believe she did it. And the thing is, like, these people hate puppets, but they work with them still. I mean, I guess that's fucking, I guess that happens in real life.
Yeah, dude, this is all real. But they have dog puppets that are helping, sniff out people. They've got these traps laid up. You're insane.
Oh man. Home Alone murder style.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they Home Alone these guys.
Yeah. They trap some of them in all these, basically they trap them in rides. There's like a recycling ride with like boiling lava, which is crazy. They hit some of them with these spinning rides. Corporal Punishment and Kane Westwood fight on a roller coaster strapped with dynamite, which is cool.
I thought he was gonna get killed. I was like, please don't, he's so cool.
Yeah,
he doesn't, he beats the shit out of him and kills him.
The way he executes that one dude is nuts.
Yeah, because it's sad. There's this kid, he's like, I'm sorry. And it makes sense. He's like, I loved your show and I listened to you, but your show's gone. And these are the adults. These are the people. I listen to them because this is what they teach me. And he's like, yeah, okay, well, you can stop. You're realizing that now. You just stop. And the grown up that's there is, I like your show too. Boom.
Yeah.
I loved it.
You see the episode about lying? Yeah, that was great.
I loved it. This was a great moment for Scoobs.
Right. And Fox is like getting reamed in this because they were live streaming when they went into Cellular Station, right?
Yeah.
And they're seeing death and destruction like on live TV. And then they switch to the in-person stuff. The in-studio stuff, and like you said, this is a big moment for Scoops in general.
Yeah, they wanted Irma to set her up to show, like, because Scoops freaks out like Cookie Monster whenever ice cream is around, they had all this ice cream and ice cream-related pastries set up. So they wanted her to just go nuts and act like a monster to show the viewers, like, hey, this is what these are the bad guys. Because not only were they live streaming these Nice or ICE members getting murdered, but Birdie's also kind of giving context of like, hey, these are the rules that you set in place. This is private land, which you said that I make my own rules up here, or we do. These are our rules and you're breaking them. So you're definitely going against everything that you say. Like, you're breaking your own rules because it's convenient for you. No, I don't think anybody in the real world would do that, but...
Yeah, definitely not. No one's ever done that.
So they set Scoops up, and I just assumed that it was going to go the way... I don't know why. I assumed that she was going to go nuts, and I thought she was going to kill Irma or something, right? Gangster moment. She's like, hold on. Mm-mm. And then she does the same thing. She starts talking to the audience and like, see what they're trying to do? They're trying to show you that, oh, look, she went crazy for some ice cream. But in real life, this guy has mountains of ice cream in his office. That's the real problem. The real problem isn't me going crazy for this little bit of ice cream. It's why aren't we talking about the guy with all of the ice cream that could be sharing with everyone? It was so good. And they instantly like, shut it down. So good.
Yeah, that was kind of like she was sent there to do that. So
it was all part of the plan.
It's a nice bait and switch for us as the audience because we don't know either.
Yeah.
The way that they get the guy in the hippie costume is nuts. Man.
The hippie costume.
So they kind of talked earlier.
Sorry. Yeah. I immediately thought like, peace and love, man.
Yeah.
Good for nothing, hippies. Yeah, this was sad, man. It wasn't sad. It was great. This was great.
Right. It's, shoot first, ask question later. They say, we're sending out someone to discuss things, and then they just mow them down. They think it's hippie, but it's someone in a hippie costume, which was...
And they're making sure to record it, too, because they're like, yeah, we're going to show America we got these suckers, right? And Birdie says, this is a proof that we're willing to talk. Are you willing to do the same thing? And they just lied him up. He did. Come to find out, that's the president's son. I feel like that was in a movie. I'm sure it's been in.
Yeah, I think so.
And then the president's son just got murdered on live TV by ICE. Also, they showed that they weren't willing to talk to these people. Like, that was all live stream too. Birdie and them trying to be peaceful, and the NICE agents not willing to do it. So kind of proving to the people that these guys are bad. And I think it's so great that you have the Ron and Don, or whatever those guys, they're the two-headed creature. He just starts busting out laughing. He's like, you can't make this shit up, man. This, how stupid are you? Gosh. And then Birdie lets him know that this was all part of the plan.
Yeah. Then just kind of ends. Yeah, it's, well, the president's pissed. They arrest everybody. It's not like a win-win.
You know,
the government hasn't changed anything. I mean, it still exists like that. But
yeah,
they've kind of won their part of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's not like a cliffhanger. There could be more stories, but they're on the preface that there are going to be more stories.
Yeah.
Just they won this battle. But sometimes that's all you need, I think.
Yeah, as that kind of organization, when you really think about it, I mean, what else would you do? You can't change the whole government. It's this.
That's one last lesson also is, You can't be.
Yeah, you gotta one little piece at a time.
Take your wins, because you can't take down the government's not gonna lose, which is sad.
Super sad.
I mean, it's not sad. It's complex. Oh man, this was a fun episode trying to stay at the center. All right, man, let's talk about it overall, from judging the book by its cover to closing it. What'd you think?
I love the concept of, like, real life Muppets, puppets, Jim Henson creations.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
Here's the problem that I have is, like, usually when I read a comic book, it is to escape from real world stuff. And I know that this isn't real. I understand that this is like extreme versions, but it's a lot real. And that was the only thing. As I was reading this, I was like, oh man, we're only a couple years from all this stuff.
Yeah. It was satirical, but it was also pretty spot on social commentary, man, within a lot of parts. And I know that it's very one-sided, right? I'm not saying it doesn't matter what side I represent or believe in. I would say that if you were someone that is a conservative, might not be your cup of tea. Absolutely is not going to be your cup of tea.
Nah. Yeah, definitely not.
So there's that.
But again, I think that I would hope, other than politicians who spout bullshit, I would hope most people wouldn't want corporations to have this much power.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this book mainly because the same reason why I enjoyed the first issue, I guess I didn't know what to expect, right? Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And that there was no escape from reality other than adding in the Muppets and the Fight Club style terrorism.
Yeah.
It was in a constant, mania news cycle that we're getting this nonstop every day. It was not the break that I'm used to, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was smart in a sense that, like, to pull characters like the Muppets and make it work in this world and story, I would have never thought about it, I would never thought it would work like this. And so I enjoyed it for that part.
Yeah, it's cool to see kind of a really quick origin story, you know, how they work that in.
And then, yeah, little sprinkles in about their past, which, I think in a Muppets movie, I'm really surprised we haven't gotten something like that. I don't know if it's because they want to keep sort of the mystery of it.
Yeah.
I know we know Gonzo's from outer space. That's about it. I don't know if he really is. I know, but I don't think I've watched that whole movie. What'd you think about the art style? Let's talk about the art.
It was good. I mean, it's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a problem. Yeah, that's what's weird is that I think the writing is so good and the satire is so good that I really didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I didn't think. And I think that's the art is good. So you don't have to think about it. You think about characters that we know from Sesame Street, it's more Sesame Street than just like Muppets. And the homages were so good. That part was good. That it just kind of all fit together. It was sketchy. I liked it. I thought it worked for the story.
Yeah, I think so.
The action scenes were great. There was a lot of dialogue. I think you kind of needed it, though. For it to be a four-issue run, you kind of needed all of that exposition.
Also, it's, you know, they have to explain everything that's going on. They have to set up all this stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot. I feel like five issues would have been too much, though. I really appreciate them squeezing it all into four issues.
Yeah, I don't know what you would have done that last one.
Yeah.
Works. It just works.
It did work. It worked really well. I'm not mad that I read it. I would recommend it.
Yeah, to certain people. I'm sure most of the listeners that listen to our podcast would enjoy this book.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You're switching to Joe Rogan after this, maybe not. I don't know.
If you're squeezing us in between your Joe Rogan 4-hour binge, just call us the palate cleanser. Let's grade this bad boy. You want me to go first? I've been making you go first every time because it takes me a while to fandag loading it up.
Go ahead.
Now I have to think. I can go. I think I'm going to put this one at like a B5, man. You know? Or I'm going to go C5. I don't really have any complaints about this book.
Yeah. I'm going to go D7. And I don't really have any complaints. And I think that's a perfectly palatable piece of toast.
Yeah.
To me, it's more about, it's a little too done. When I say that, the toast, I'm talking about the toast that I'm looking at. It's just sad. It was just too poignant. And that's really what it comes down to. It was a great book, and I don't regret reading it in the slightest. So,
there you have it, guys. Survival Street. We reviewed it. It was good. Check it out. Try to read it with an open mind.
Yeah.
Try not to let it weigh too heavy on your soul if you're someone that watches the news.
Yeah. Stop watching the news.
I was going to say, it's really hard to not get any news because I'm someone that any sort of sensationalized news, I keep it out of my, I try to keep tunnel vision to keep it out of, but it's so hard. You still get some of it. Also, just live your life how you want to. Don't listen to me. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
Yeah, just two guys living in Hollow Point, Texas. Simon, where can the people find you?
Y'all can find me at Simon_on_toast on TikTok, like I said earlier, and Instagram. You go, if you're out shopping for toys and you want something from, like, say, Entertainment Earth, I'm an affiliate. You can find that link in my link tree on my Instagram.
Yeah, do that. Or else. Yeah. You can find us Wednesday Poll everywhere else on Threads now. If you're on Threads doing your thing, I'm trying to recreate my Twitter magic there. I don't know. I don't know if it's working. I don't know if I'll be able to. I've been talking about for a while to start working on my Instagram a little bit, and this seems like the perfect time to do it. I don't really know what that looks like, but follow us there anyways. You get to see it in real time as I try to figure it out. Also, you should join the newsletter. We almost got 100 people signed up already, and the first one's not even out yet, so I'm really excited about that reception. I know it's not in the millions or whatever, but
100 people is a lot. If you were in a room, if 100 people were in this room right now, it would be like a Saw movie.
Literally, no thanks.
So we're really excited for that. Sign up for the newsletter, and every week you will get my professionally curated list of top 10 books you should pick. And you'll get some toy love from Simon. You'll get our new episode. So sign up for that, and we'll see you guys next week. Circling the train.
Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Bye.